was dealing with suicide. And then the Holy Ghost would set that person free. We had services where people got healed. We had services where people got delivered from all kind of problems. So it's just where you make room for the Holy Ghost and you just let him do whatever he wants to do. We had services where we just worship God strong for 2 hours. You know, it's okay for God to just do whatever he wants to do, isn't it? Amen. Praise God. So it's going to be good. It's going to be wonderful. Glory to God. Well, let's get into the Word this morning. Glory to God. Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Mark, the 5th chapter. Mark chapter 5. Glory to God. Years ago, I was invited to go to Sweden. As I was in Sweden, in Estonia, actually. Went to Sweden, and I met Tim Kilstrom there. And he was telling me about his niece, you know, this and his little niece, you know, she's like 4 years old. So she's around the move of God and the Spirit of God and so forth. And you know how little girls are. I have two daughters. One of them's, they're in their 30s, both of them. You know how little girls are. They have dolls. They just don't have one doll. They might have 10 dolls or whatever. So this little girl, after being exposed to the things of God and being around the charismatic Word of Faith churches and so forth, she had her dolls lined up in a prayer line, and she was laying hands on them and praying for them. You know, so they told me she went up to the first doll, and she said, "Be saved." And she went to the second one, and she said, "Be filled." And she went to the third one and said, "And be healed." And then the next one she said, "And behave." You know. Well, I thought that's pretty good doctrine, amen. I mean, get saved and get full of the Holy Ghost and be healed and made whole in every area and realm, and then for God's sake, behave, amen. Matter of fact, I've shared that at some ministers' conferences, and I must have had at least a half dozen ministers say, "I went back home and preached that in my church, just made a whole message out of it." Amen. Well, let's read here in Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse number 25. We'll read through verse 34. Mark chapter 5, verse number 25. "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?'" So you see, Jesus, the Son of God, did not know who touched him. You understand, of course, that even though he was always God on the earth, he operated as a man anointed by the Spirit of God. So he did not know who touched him. Isn't that right? Amen. Lots you could say about that, but Jesus said, "I don't know who touched me," so he didn't know who touched him. He did recognize that virtue, or power, in this case, power flowed out of him. So he recognized that, and he said, "Who touched me?" So again, just want you to realize that, he didn't know who touched him. Amen. And then it says, where were we? "Who touched my clothes?" Verse 31, "But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me?' And he looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, my faith has made you well.'" Oh, I didn't read that right, did I? He said, "Daughter, your faith has..." Jesus, the Son of God, didn't know who touched him, and he turned to the lady. See, she was fearing and trembling, and she told him all the truth, and Jesus looked at her and he said, "Your faith has made you whole." Her faith, his power. Amen. But her faith released the power. He said, "Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Praise God. I tell you, this story, this is a wonderful story. Wonderful testimony, and it ought to be a tremendous, tremendous encouragement to all of us, because Jesus did not sovereignly seek her out. You understand that? Now, Jesus did that at time as he was prompted by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God would lead him or anoint him to go to an individual, and he would do that. And that's right. But in this case, Jesus is walking along. He's not seeking her out. The Spirit of God did not prompt him to look around and call her out of the crowd. No, she came to Jesus and got what she needed using her own faith. Praise God. In other words, she touched Jesus. Jesus didn't touch her. You understand? Amen. Praise God. And so her healing did not come because of some special manifestation of the Spirit of God or some special anointing or some special move of God. Now, thank God for that. I'm just saying that's not the way that her healing came. And it's very interesting. Depending on the way you count, there's either 19 or 20 individual cases that we're told about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about people being healed. Now, Jesus healed thousands and thousands of people. I understand that. But when I'm talking about individual cases like the woman with the issue of blood or blind Bartimaeus, sometimes their stories are told, you know, in a couple of the Gospels told three times. And so it seems like it's more than that. But individual cases where we're told the details behind their personal healing, there's 19 of those basically. And out of 12 of the 19, which is over 60%, Jesus didn't go to them. They came to Jesus, and Jesus looked at them like he did this woman with the issue of blood, and in essence said, your faith has made you whole. As you have believed. Glory to God. And it's funny that the church world at large, the only thing they think about is some man or woman coming around that's being greatly used of God, or some manifestation of the Spirit, or going to a Benny Hinn meeting, which is all wonderful. But they don't think about, as they should, using their faith and going to Jesus. Yet in the Gospels, that's the primary way that it happened. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. So you see, she understood that as a Jew under the old covenant, healing belonged to her. How many of you understand that healing belongs to us today? Praise God, by His stripes we were and we are healed. Thank you, Jesus. And so God just didn't pick her out of the crowd and go to her and initiate her own healing. She went to Jesus, initiated her own healing with her own faith. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. So we need to realize, as this story and others tell us, that you can use your own faith. She could use her own faith. You can use your own faith. Amen. She used her own faith. You can use your own faith, and you can initiate healing. Now, this story is about healing, but it would work for anything. Not just healing. Anything that rightfully belongs to you because of what Jesus did for you in his death, burial, and resurrection, or in other words, in redemption, you can use your faith, and you can receive what Jesus has already provided for you. But you do have to receive it. So you can use your own faith and receive anything that you need. You don't have to wait for God to, you don't have to wait for a revival. You don't have to wait for some special meeting. You don't have to wait for some special minister. You don't have to wait for the Spirit of God to be moving in a particular way. You can use your faith and get results every single time. Thank you, Jesus. I said, thank you, Jesus. Her faith made her whole, and your faith can make you whole. Thank you, Lord. I said, your faith can make you whole. Glory to God. And thank God. Please don't misunderstand me at all. Thank God for special demonstrations of the Spirit and manifestations of the Spirit. We believe in those things. We want those things. We have those things. If it's up to me, I'd just do it every service. I just operate in all nine gifts of the Spirit every time the doors are open, and that's all I'd do. Amen. But believers need to be taught the Word of God. Can you say amen? Praise God. But thank God for that. And God does sovereignly and supernaturally move as he wills for his own purposes and plans and ideas. Amen. A good example of that is found in John chapter 5. You remember that story. You know, that's where an angel would come down and trouble the waters. And whoever stepped in first would be healed. And the Bible tells us that there was a great multitude, probably thousands and thousands of people that were there to be healed. And there were lame people and blind people and paralyzed people and people with every kind of sickness and disease imaginable. Well, I don't know if it happened every week or every 2 months or every 6 months or every, you know. But an angel would come down and trouble or stir the waters. And then can you imagine that? You got people there that can't move and people blind and people. And whoever could get in first got healed. Somebody said, how come God did that? Well, I don't know. Ask your pastor. He'll tell you. But he's God. If he wants to send an angel down to stir the waters every once in a while and heal the first person that, if he wants, he can do that, can he? See, that was a special move, a special manifestation of God. He did that for his, you know, for his own purposes. And thank God for special manifestations of his power. Thank God for special demonstrations of the Spirit, for gifts of the Spirit, and manifestations of his power and presence in our midst. Glory to God. Often these things, it's not the only reason, but often these things are done as signs and wonders for unbelievers. It's not the only reason. And thank God he does move, especially for, but often these things are for signs and wonders for unbelievers. I mean, you know, we go out there and we tell them, this is the Bible. And a Muslim says, no, this is the Bible. But then through signs and wonders and miracles, they say, I'm going over there and listen to them. So that's one of the main purposes that God does these things. But here's what you need to understand about that. Most of the people waiting at the pool of Bethesda to get in the water when the angel troubled it, most of those people never got in first. Isn't that right? Would you agree with that? I mean, most of them never got in first. And think about this. This little lady with the issue of blood, had she went to the pool of Bethesda, she probably would have never been the first person to get in. Which means, eventually, because her disease was very serious and she was going downhill, she would have died. They don't look so sad, because here's the good news. Everybody, every lame person, every blind person, every paralyzed person that was at the pool of Bethesda waiting for the troubling of the waters, every single one of them could have went and touched the hem of his garment in faith like this woman did and got healed. And that's why this is good news. That's why this is exciting. We don't have to just hope something's going to happen. We can use our faith and get what we need from God. We're not making God give us anything. We're just receiving what he's already done. He already did it because he wanted us to have it. Praise God. And see, a lot of Christians, here's my point, a lot of Christians just sit around and wait and hope for some kind of special meeting or special manifestation or special man or special woman to come along. And you see, while they're sitting around waiting, just nothing ever happens for them. And here's something. This is a direct quote from Brother Hagin. He said this. He said, you need to understand this. Although God does move that way. He's talking about special manifestations and sovereignly and gifts of the Spirit. Although God does move that way, it does not always work for everybody, and it never will. But everybody can use their faith and give what they need from God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Said amen. Praise God. I mean, just sitting around waiting for God to just move sovereignly or for something special to happen to you. I mean, thank God for that again. But just wait. That'd be like going out and just hoping you get struck by lightning. The reason I say that is because the gifts of the Spirit, it moves the Spirit. I mean, it's like a lightning bolt. In other words, you don't know when it's coming. I mean, you know there's thunder. Now, praise God, if I need something from God, go get where it's lightning in the Spirit, so to speak. Amen. But you don't know when it's going to come. You don't know when it's going to hit, and it's random. And see, that's how the gifts of the Spirit are. They're as God wills for his own special purposes and his own reasons that we might understand, but usually we don't. And so like lightning striking. Amen. So you can't figure that out. Glory to God. I mean, it could happen. I mean, if you went out, if you decided, you know, this, I know this is stupid, but if you decided, I want to be struck by lightning, and you did not have any kind of special equipment, you know, like a golfer out there with these iron, you know, you didn't have any kind of special equipment that would draw the lightning to you, you could go out in horrible thundering and lightning, and you may do that 1,000 times and never get struck by lightning. Oh, I understand you may go out the first day and get struck, but you may do it for years and never get struck. And so I read something by Mark Brzee. I got this book a few years ago, found this book, 365 Days of Healing. And this is real interesting. Listen to this, because he used that example. He says how God anointed, you know this, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. See, notice two things, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And so he says this, listen, he said, two major flows of anointing operated in Jesus' ministry, and these same flows are still on the body of Christ today. One flow is like lightning. He's talking about gifts of the Spirit, special manifestations, God moving in unusual ways. One flow is like lightning. It hits every now and then. We don't know when, where, or how. These bolts of lightning are manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit that operates as God wills. See, that'd be like the troubling of the water. The other flow of anointing is like electricity flowing freely when activated by faith. You cannot make and predict or know when and where or how lightning is going to strike, but every single one of you can go home and just flip the switch and electricity is going to come on every time. Because you see, the power is already there. All you have to do is activate the power. Well, see, God is everywhere present, but His power is not everywhere in manifestation. So you have to activate that power to get saved. You have to activate that power to get healed, to get delivered, to be set free, to get freedom in your mind from depression or oppression of any kind. And how do you activate it? By faith. By faith. But you could, just like you could, but you can learn to activate the anointing of God or the power of God, just like you can learn to control electricity. You just activate it by faith. A man named Bullinger, he said, who wrote most of the notes in the Companion Bible. After I read this, I went out and got a Companion Bible and checked this all out. It's absolutely the truth. He said this: there are 52 times in the New Testament where the term Holy Ghost should literally be translated not the person of the Holy Ghost, but the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. In Acts 10:38 is one of those times. So it should read, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with manifestations of the Holy Ghost and with power. In other words, sometimes He would move and operate as the Spirit. When the Spirit came upon Him, when the Spirit anointed Him. You ever notice he went to one man at the pool of Bethesda. There's all those thousands of people sick, but He went to one man. Why did He just go to one man? Because the Spirit of God prompted him or led him or anointed him to do it. Amen. And so Jesus moved like that and people were healed that way. Amen. So it should, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with manifestations of the Holy Ghost and with power. At times, Jesus operated in the manifestations of the Spirit, delivering a miracle with no faith on the recipient's part. You know, right here in Pennsylvania, Catherine Kuhlman used to come to, I don't know why, but she would particularly go to Pittsburgh, and she had meetings there year after. Are you familiar with Catherine Kuhlman? You know, great power, manifestations of the Spirit flowed through her. Well, see, here you have a crowd, my point again, thousands and thousands of people, and she'd call out somebody in the balcony, and they would be healed of some disease there was no cure for. And she'd call out somebody on the third row, and one over here, and one over here, and one over there, and one over there. And so it's a powerful thing. Blind eyes open. People jump out of wheelchairs. Out of those crowds of thousands, she might point and, you know, through gifts of the Spirit, minister to 10 or 12 people. Well, there's thousands there. They know the power of God's there. And many of that crowd need to be healed. Have you ever been to a big meeting? I have with Oral Roberts or T.L. Osborne or Kenneth Hagin, and they call for the sick to come to the front, and there's a crowd of 10,000. You know how many people go up there? About 5,000. So you see that here were those just a few, but it says the Spirit of God wills. Amen. Yet there were other, but everybody could be healed. Oftentimes, see, that would spark the faith of the entire crowd, and then they would use their faith and get what they needed from God. Hallelujah. But what I was going to say is she had a man walk by her meeting. I don't know if it was in Pittsburgh or not, but she had a man walk by the meeting. He didn't know what was going on. He just walked in to see what was going on. He was totally deaf in one ear, and his ear popped open. And so then he stayed around, and the ushers realized what's going on, and they bring him to the front. And he said, I don't know. He said, I don't know anything about you people. I don't know anything about God. And he said, I don't believe. But he said, I do know my ear popped open. So here's a man that don't even believe. How come God to do that? I told you, I don't know. Ask your pastor. He'll explain that to you later. Amen. And she said, because she did not understand faith as she understood operating in the gifts of the Spirit. She said, I don't know what faith is. Because she admittedly didn't know. But she was just operating in the gifts of the Spirit. And thank God for that. Thank God for that. Amen. Here it is again. At times, Jesus operated in the manifestations of the Spirit, delivering a miracle with no faith on the recipient's part. These were manifestations of God's sovereign side, where His power flowed like lightning. When and how and where and why, it's up to God. Lady took her husband to Brother Hagin's meeting one time. She sat there and made fun of him, made fun of the meeting. She was so embarrassed. She had tried and tried and tried to get him to come to the meeting, and he finally went, and they're sitting up in the balcony, and he's praying for people, and people are falling under the Spirit, you know, and so forth. And he's going, he's pushing them down. He's pushing them. Ah, he's out, you know, and making, and she's just so embarrassed. And he's talking about it'll be like a warm glow of honey, you know, coming over your body. And all of a sudden, you know, he got exceptionally loud and started saying, it's on me, it's on. And she was like, oh, God, please be quiet. She's so embarrassed. But he meant that healing power. And he was healed, sitting there making fun of God, making fun of the man of God. How come God to do that? I told you. I don't know. Ask your pastor. He'll tell you. Jesus hasn't changed. By faith, people get healed that way, but then by faith, individuals would activate his power and release its flow like electricity. Jesus hasn't changed. If the majority received by faith back then, that's how the majority will receive today. Let the hand of faith release God's power flow to you. Glory to God. And then I was just looking at it this morning. I hadn't seen this. What if you need a miracle, but God doesn't move sovereignly through the gifts of the Spirit to give you one? Don't be surprised if he doesn't. He never promised he would. In fact, God didn't design the gifts of the Spirit for the church. He intended them to be divine advertisements or signs to an unsaved world. Of course, God loves us so much that he does manifest spiritual gifts among Christians for our blessing. But he doesn't expect us to just sit around and wait to be blessed by a sovereign move of the Spirit. How do I know that? 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Amen. Notice this verse does not say, "For we walk by the sovereignty of God, and we hope he operates quickly." Nor does it say, "For we sit back and wait for God to move on our behalf, even if it takes 40 years. No, it says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." God expects believers to believe and use faith to initiate miracles. So don't sit back and wait. Go to God's Word, find out his will, then reach out by faith and take hold of what already belongs to you. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Now here's the deal. The good news is that God does move in unusual and spectacular ways. Thank God for it. But like he said, we don't have to sit around waiting to be struck by lightning. We can, anybody in this room, all of us, we can, just like this woman with the issue of blood, we can go to God anytime we want to and use our faith and receive what God has already provided for us. And so here's what I want to do. Through this story, I want to show you exactly how to get whatever you need. I don't care what it is. If it belongs to you because of what Jesus did at Calvary, you can get it. And you see, it's not. And I understand we're using this story, but the principles are the spiritual laws that are found in this story are found throughout the Word of God. So it's not just a story. It's a story that's based on spirit. You know, a law is something that works. You know, the law of gravity. What goes up must come down. How many know that works every time? Unless you interfere with it. You throw a quarter up in the air, it's going to come down a million out of a million times. And if you do exactly what she did, you'll get the same results a million out of a million times, because what she did is based on spiritual laws. That's what I want to say. So what did she do? Because I want to show you in some extremely simple, easy to understand terms what she did. Because what she did, anybody can understand. A 5-year-old can understand it and do it. And so what she did, the Lord's very strong about this to me, anybody at any time can do what she did and get the same results. Say, "I don't need healing." Yeah, but you know, sometimes people need to be delivered from some sin or delivered from some destructive habit or delivered from fear or delivered from rejection or 101 different things. And I'm telling you, on the authority of God's Word, that anybody can do what she did and get results without fail every single time. Praise God. Amen. And so it's just 4 things here, real easy to understand. Mark chapter 5, verse number 25. Again, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse." So her situation was extremely serious. She had used up all of her money and she was slowly dying and nothing could be done about it. Is that right? Amen. So. Maybe your situation is worse than hers, but probably not. She was slowly dying, and nobody could help her. And it says, verse 27, when she heard, everybody say heard. When she heard about Jesus. Now, 2 things that I want to say here. First of all, in her case, she didn't do anything. Other people came to her, and they told her about Jesus. You have to hear what the Word of God says. You have to hear what Jesus has done. Amen. You have to hear what belongs to you in Christ Jesus. But you see, she, in her case, didn't do anything. Other people came and told her about Jesus. Now, the reason I want to point that out is because a lot of times, you know, maybe we just get caught up sometimes in dealing with people that you preach the truth to them and they reject it. You know, you preach salvation and they just reject the message. Or you preach to Christians and you tell them the truth of God's word, but they believe that their traditions more than they believe God's word, and they reject God's word in order to keep their traditions. They reject God's word because it goes against what Oprah said. I'm going, my God, Phil Donahue says, you know, so that they reject God's word because they'd have to give up some lust of the flesh that they want to give up. And so, you know, sometimes we focus too much on that, I got to thinking about, because, you know, hundreds and hundreds and even thousands of people that I've shared the Word of God with privately and in preaching, they don't reject the Word of God. They actually embrace it. They receive it, and it changes their life forever. I mean, I've shared the baptism of the Holy Ghost with people that didn't know anything about it, and tears would just roll down their eyes, and they'd say, I never knew that. My church never taught me that. Well, if they accept that truth and receive that truth and get filled with the Holy Ghost, does that not change your life forever?
Amen.
And the same about healing, about spiritual authority, about faith, about what belongs to you, about righteousness, and that God loves you, and that you are forgiven, and on and on and on. So thank God for that. Millions of people, sinners and saints alike, when somebody shares the Word of God with them, they don't reject it, they receive it. Glory to God. So let's make sure that we spread the Word. Glory to God. Share your testimony. Amen. Share the truths you've learned. Witness to the lost. Give away CDs and books, all kind of ways you can do it. But people can't hear the truth unless somebody gives it to them. How shall they know? Unless they're sent, unless there's preachers, unless somebody shares it with them. And there are people, I promise you, that are around you. You know, there's certain people the Spirit of God might lead you to kind of, you know, not say anything, but there's people around you that they desperately need to know what you already know. And they will not reject you, and they will not reject the truth. And when they hear the truth, it will change their life forever. So thank God for that. Amen. I mean, somebody told this woman about Jesus. That's where the miracle began. And because they told her, her life was changed. She didn't die. She was healed. And how many of you know that changed her life forever? Glory to God. Amen. So she heard the word that others shared with her. But then secondly, here's what we need to understand about hearing the word. Secondly, let me say it this way. On the other hand, as a Christian, you see, you're not needing for somebody to come share the gospel with you. You've embraced the gospel, and you go to church, and you hear your pastor, and you read books and so forth. You're hungry for the truth. As a Christian, it's up to us to put ourselves into position, to hear the word continually. That's where it all starts. You can't believe if you don't first hear. You can't act and confess and do all the things that we must do unless you first hear the truth. So number one, as a Christian, real simple, in order to overcome anything and receive what you need from God, number one, hear the word. Hear the word. Glory to God. Now, obviously, she believes the word that she hears. The reason I know that is because she spoke what she believed in her heart, and she acted on what was in her heart. And besides that, Jesus said to her, your faith has made you whole. So we know she had faith. She heard about Jesus. She heard about his miracle power. And she heard that he was healing the sick and that he could heal her. And she heard that, and she believed that. So number one, real simple, hear the word of God, not the traditions of men. Make sure it's the word of God. But you hear the word of God. And then number two, believe the word. Believe the word. Everybody say, believe the word.
Believe.
Amen. And then number three, say what you believe. Say what you believe. We'll see that in a minute in this story. When she heard the reports about Jesus, just think about it. She could have said something like this. She could have said, well, you know, I've suffered for so long. I've been through so much. I spent so much money. I've gone to doctor after doctor, and they all tried this and they tried that, and you know, I just, there's not any use. I don't know if I could ever get to him anyway. He's always got a big crowd around him. And see, if she had talked like that, she would have died. If she would have been negative, she would have died. Don't defeat yourself with your own lips. Glory to God. No, she heard and she believed, and in verse number 28 it says, For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. See, that was her faith speaking. Now, the Weiss translation and the Amplified translation, which are both noted for amplifying or expanding the original Greek, both of them say this. It says, "For she kept saying, for she kept saying, for she kept saying, for she kept saying." Amen. Now listen to me. Jesus never said, "You'll have what you say." Jesus never said, "You'll have what you believe." What Jesus did say is, "You'll have whatever you say if you believe it in your heart and you don't doubt." So you have what you say if you believe it. You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. That is the spiritual law of faith. So she heard something. She believed what she heard. And then she immediately began to say, because, you know, she understood the power of God was resident within Jesus, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." That was her faith speaking. Faith always speaks. Faith always says. If you don't say something, then your faith is never released. Amen. You'll have whatever you say if you believe it and don't doubt. So she said what she believed, and she kept saying what she believed. Romans 10:10, there it is again, God's spiritual law of faith. "For with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto." You know, in Corinthians it says, "For we, having the same spirit of faith, believe in our heart and say with our mouth," or confess with our mouth. That's the spiritual law of faith. You believe something, and then you begin to say it. Amen. So in seeking anything from God, from salvation onward, you must first believe something in your heart because the Word said it. Then you must confess it with your mouth, or you must confess with your mouth what you believe. I want to say it again. There is no faith without confession. There's no faith without confession. Confession, or speaking the Word that you believe, releases the faith that's in your heart. I mean, you can have love in your heart all day long, but if you never share that love or express that love, then you see it's never manifest. That's how faith is. Faith is not released. It's not activated. It won't activate the power of God unless the faith that's in your heart gets out. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And she kept saying. She kept saying. She kept saying. Glory to God. So keep saying you have what God says you have. I said keep saying you have what God says you have. Even though it may not look like it in the natural, because we walk by faith. You ever heard that? And not by sight. Amen. And so keep saying what you believe in your heart, even though everything in the natural says it cannot happen. And then number four, act upon what you believe. Amen. You see, even though she said, see, don't misunderstand. Even though she said, "If I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole," it wouldn't have done her any good whatsoever unless she acted on it. Amen. So she had to act on that. And that took effort. And that took perseverance. But faith always acts. And there's always a way that faith can act. You understand that she had to press her way through the crowd. And you understand she could have been negatively discouraged because, you see, with an issue of blood, she was what the Jewish law called, she was unclean. And so it was in her day, in her society, it was illegal for her to be out in close contact with people. And you know, she had to press her way into the crowd to get to Jesus. I was in the Philippines one time, and it wasn't a tremendous crowd, but there was, you know, maybe 2,000 people there, and we were praying for people, and there was another pastor and his wife, and then all of a sudden, instead of just having an organized prayer line, we just got among the people. Well, because they need God's power and his presence and his touch. I never experienced that before, and I can't imagine what Jesus experienced at the time. People begin to understand what it means when it says they thronged you. I mean, people just pressed up against us so that you could hardly move because they're hungry and desperate to get help. And I know the pastor's wife that was with us, she actually yielded to fear, and they had to get her out of there because it was just like you're going to get trampled or something. And so this woman who, according to Jewish law, if anybody got near her, was literally to yell out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." In other words, stay away from me. And so she had to go against her Jewish law. And she had to go, she had to go and get in the crowd and get right up close to everybody and press her way in to act upon the Word of God. Amen. I said amen. Glory to God. And so, you know, she knew, See, she had reason to fear because she knew, I don't know, maybe, because I don't know that much about her, I don't know that the people were going to stone her to death if they found her like that, but they certainly were going to ridicule her, they were going to shame her, they were going to heap condemnation on her, and there might have been a couple of rocks chunked her way. You understand what I'm saying? One commentary said this. He said, with the multitude thronging him, understand, people just so close to you that you can't hardly move. You've seen these videos today of these soccer matches where people get trampled to death. With people thronging up against him, this man said there's no way she could have just stooped over and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. She was probably on her hands and knees pressing through the crowd because she was determined. Glory to God. You have to hear the word of God. You have to believe. See, immediately she didn't start thinking about, I can't get among the crowd. No, she had to overcome all of that. She believed the word of God. And then she said, if I may touch Buddy's clothes. And she just didn't say it and then sit in her house and wait for Jesus to come to her. No, she got out and pressed against and made effort and went against her own Jewish customs and laws and traditions and rituals. And she pressed into him to touch the hem of his garment. This man said, who knows? But this man says she was probably on her hands and knees when she did it. There's always a way to act. When I was at Oral Roberts University, you know, I didn't go to ORU. I went to Rhema, but I worked at ORU. And so even today, you know, most of those buildings were built 30, 40 years ago. But even today, it's real modern looking, if you ever seen it. Real space age looking. Real shiny. And so multi millions of dollars worth of buildings out there. And so they said about Brother Roberts that he'd get a new dream, a new vision, a new goal, and he'd know exactly where they were going to build this building, and he'd be walking up and down and praying, and the building was going to cost, you know, in that day, $6 million or $12 million or $22 million, and he wouldn't have but $25,000 in the bank. But he'd take that $25,000 and he'd go dig a hole. In other words, we get it prepared, get the foundation ready to build. There's always a way to act. Kenneth Hagin, you know his story. He was bedfast, paralyzed, couldn't hardly get out of bed, couldn't hardly read but a few pages a day at times when his symptoms were really acting up, so to speak. And he said, so I got to think, you know, it doesn't, for him to act is not to push himself out of bed and just wallow on the floor. That wouldn't be acting. That'd be foolish. But there is a way to act. And he's the one that I first heard say, there's always a way to act. And he said, when I was on the bed of affliction, I thought to myself, well, if I was well and I was healed, what would I be doing? And he said, the answer was simple. I knew. He said, I'd be preaching the gospel. So he said, I began to, now that the doctors are giving him no hope, he can't even get out of bed, but he said, so I began to act by doing this. I began to prepare sermons. He said, I got a whole box full of them. He said, I don't think I ever preached to one of them, but he said, I got a whole box full of sermons because I was acting on my faith. I remember Kenneth Copeland said one time he wanted to buy an airplane, multi-million-dollar airplane. He didn't have a dime, or, you know, he didn't have the money to even begin to look at that airplane, but he had enough to go out and buy the books that went with that airplane. And that's what he did. There's always a way to act. Amen. Now, almost through here. Stay with me. Very, very important. Simple. She heard the word. She believed the word. She confessed it, and she acted upon it. She actually went and touched the hem of his garment. She heard, she believed, she confessed. Listen, because this is the secret to miracles. You have to believe something, you have to say something, and you have to act on something before you ever receive it. Amen? Before you ever have it in the natural. Glory to God. Before you can see it, before you physically have it. She did four things while she was still sick and bleeding. When she heard the word, she was still bleeding. When she believed the word, she was still bleeding. When she said over and over and over again, if I may but touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She was still bleeding every time she said that. When she got ready and made herself, you know, made her way to Jesus, which I don't know if that took her 2 hours or 2 days or... But the whole time that she was going to Jesus, the whole time she was pressing through that crowd, she was still bleeding. The secret to miracles is to believe that you have what God says you have according to His Word, even though it doesn't appear to be true in the natural. And when you believe you've got it because God says it's yours, then It'll change the natural physical circumstances. You see, most Christians, even people that have heard it over and over again, they want to first feel something different. They want something to look different. They want their symptoms to change. They want their circumstances to change. Then they'll believe. Mark 11:24, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive. Then you have. Believe you take it. Believe it becomes yours. Glory to God. How many believe that God is real? How many believe there's angels in this room? Can you see one? If you brought in the most sophisticated equipment in the world, could you prove there's one here? And you're telling me you know they're here? Why? Because you have God's word for it. Amen. So you have to believe something before you ever see it in manifestation. You have to say something before you ever see a change. And you have to act on the word of God before it ever happens or before you ever see it in the natural. So she did these four things. Glory to God, while she was still sick and bleeding, while she was still hemorrhaging. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then the healing came. Then the feelings changed. Then the hemorrhaging stopped. Then she was made whole. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. See, people miss miracles. People that are that close, they miss miracles because they want a feeling first. They want the healing first. They want the manifestation first. But you must believe and confess and act first. Then you will experience the feeling. Can you get a hold of that? Praise God. The unseen power of God to save and to heal and to make whole and to deliver and set free is always present everywhere. See, back then, the power was resident within Jesus, so you had to get to Jesus. But now, God, by His Spirit, is everywhere. The power is everywhere. Power to save. Power to deliver. Power to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Power to set you free in your mind. Power to deliver you from any kind of sin or bondage. I don't care what you've been through. It's everywhere, present. All you have to do is tap into that power. How do you tap into that power? You hear the word, and you believe the word, and you speak the word, and you act on the word, and you believe it becomes yours, according to what Jesus said. You believe, then you have. You believe, then you have. Amen? So when we believe the word, when we confess the word, when we act upon the word, regardless of what it looks like in the natural, before we feel or see any difference, then the power of God is released. Had so many wonderful miracles happening. Some of them were instant. Some of them I gradually begin to see a difference. Some of them happened 3 weeks later or 5 days later. But I've never had one happen unless I first believed before I saw any difference. Now this church is well taught. I know you know all of these principles. The church our pastor, you know, is well taught through our people at our church and our staff and, you know, outside ministers that come in. But I preached this back in May, Doug, and you know, just inspired by the Spirit, because I didn't know I was going to do this, I said, could you, sitting out there, I mean, you know that God loves you. You know it's His will to heal. You know it's His will to deliver. You know it's His will to make you whole in your mind, in your will, in your emotions, in your I don't care what it is, any area. You know there's power in the name of Jesus. You know that God wants to do it, and you believe. I know you believe. I said, could you sit there right where you're sitting this morning and just simply say, in a minute when He calls for me, I'm going to sit here and say to myself, when He touches me, I will be made whole. That's what she did. When He touches me, I will be delivered. When He touches me, when He prays for me, I will be set free. I will be healed. I will be delivered from this oppression, from this rejection, from this depression. Will you? You know, and I said that to people. Well, I know it resonated with people because in a local church with your local pastor, sometimes you have a line and a few people will kind of slowly walk to the front. And then if they think something's happening, then others will get up and say, well, maybe I'll get in on that. But when I called for people to come up front, about I don't know how many people, but a lot of people just instantly got up and walked. They quickly came to the front. Well, after the service, I didn't talk to this man. I wish I had him, but we had a visitor there that had a hearing aid, and he told several people around him, I don't need this hearing aid anymore after he prayed for me. But he sat there before he came up and said, when he touches me, I'll be healed from this hearing aid. There's another lady that cuts my hair. She told me, because I see her. You understand, for every one testimony you get, there's 10 you don't hear about. And so her shoulder, she couldn't even lift it up, but now it was totally free. And then I really like this. There was a man in our service. Now, his wife had been coming for, I guess, 20 years. And he just came every once in a while. Nice fella. I'd met him. Didn't know him much because he wasn't ever around. But he told his wife a week before that, he said, I don't even know if I believe in that stuff. I don't even know if I believe in all that healing stuff and so forth. Now, he was having serious problems with his back. How old do you think he is? 40s maybe? He had a tumor wrapped around his spine. Now, the tumor was the kind that when if you cut into it, it bleeds. They call that a anybody know? I don't know. But anyway, it's very dangerous. So the doctors had told him, because this is so intertwined in your back, we can't get to it to remove it. And besides that, what they told him is you may bleed to death and die. And so he's in tremendous pain. He has chronic problems with his back. He's had them for years, just in his 40s, we think, somewhere in there, you know. And the doctors say, we can't do anything for you. We can't operate. And the doctor said, you will have to live with this for the next few years, but you will end up in the wheelchair. But he sat back there and listened to this message and said to himself, when he touches me, I'll be healed. When he touches me, I'll be healed. And so he came and we prayed for him, didn't know it. 2 days later, you know, this was back in May, the 1st of May, he was totally healed from this problem. Confirmed by doctors and has not had any problems with it since. Thank you, Jesus. I was listening to a tape later from Kenneth Hagin, and he tells this miraculous events and supernatural events where he tells people, because he's in the spirit, where a certain man's going to be at church, and when this man comes to church on Sunday night, he's going to say this and this, you know, and the man's going to come up and get saved, and all the pastor and his kids all heard it, and they said, we were looking for him on Sunday night, and that man was there, and he called him out and he told him, you know, because he had that by the spirit, he told him, you've got 1 foot in the grave. And you've never believed in God. So the man came to the front, accepted Jesus Christ, you've got 1 foot in the grave, and you don't believe in God, and time is short for you. So the man came up and got saved and got healed. And he told Brother Hagin, he said, you're right. He said, the doctor just told me I just have a few weeks to live. And he said, you understand, my parents were atheists and didn't believe in God, never taught me about God. He said, this is the first time I've ever been in a gospel church in my life. Well, Brother Hagin saw that man in the spirit before the service, described him to the pastor's kids and the pastor. On the Sunday night, the man was there. Amen. He told him, he came up, said all that. You understand? So he said, right after that, he said, right in that same, you know, where I see this man, then Jesus appeared to me. And so when Jesus appeared to him, he said, Lord, while you're here, he said, you know, he said, I've got a couple of sermons. Now this was, you know, after I realized this, he said, I've got a couple of sermons based on the woman with the issue of blood, but he said, I just sense by the Spirit there's another one there. There's another one there, and I hadn't quite got it yet. And Jesus said to him, he said, well, you're right. He said, there is something else my spirit has been trying to get across to you, and you hadn't quite picked up on it yet. He said, but since I'm here, I'll tell you what it is. And he basically, in essence, told him what I just told you. And Jesus said this to Brother Hagin. He said, if people will do these things like this woman with the issue of blood will do, they will get whatever they need from me without fail every single time. And Brother Hagin said, anything? He said, anything. Anything. Glory to God. Amen. Well, I knew that because I had the word, but that was nice to hear that story. Amen. Can you this morning? Can you this morning, beginning right now? Because in a minute I'm going to call you and ask for anybody who comes to the front. Can you say, I need to be healed. I need to be set free from this fear. I need to be set free from depression or rejection or insecurity. I need my finances. I need, you know, these finances belong to you. I need restoration in this area. I need to be delivered from this sinful habit. Whatever it is, 1,001 things. Can you sit there right now and say, when he calls me up there, I'm going to go up, and when he lays hands on me, the power of God's going to come on me, and I will be made whole. Let's stand up together a second. Let's stand up together. Just everybody, just because I don't want to embarrass you, just begin to praise God and lift your hands to God and praise God. And if that's you, Pastor Doug, I'm going to ask you to come up here. Right there. Just begin, say that to yourself if that's you. Say, when I go up there, when they lay hands on me, I will be set free. I will be healed. I will be delivered. I will be made whole in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Amen. Out loud. Let me hear you. Praise God. Worship God. Worship God. Everybody just praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. And if you need to say that, you say that. I will. I'm going to go up there like the woman with the issue of blood. I believe. I've heard that healing belongs to me, and I believe it with all my heart, and I'm going to say when I go up there, this is just a place for you to release your faith. See, if you never release your faith, if you don't turn the light switch on, then the electricity never comes. If you don't activate your faith and release your faith, then the power can't come. It's there. You believe. There's only one thing left to do, and that's to activate it with your faith. And so you can say right there, well, if people are praising God and you're standing, when he lays hands on me, when they touch me, I will be made whole from whatever it is. I will be set free. I will be delivered. I will receive that which I need from God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now, if that's you, just come up here right now. Just come up here right now. Amen. Praise God. We're going to lay hands on you. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Praise God. God's no respecter of persons. What he did for the woman with the issue of blood, he will and he is going to do for you. What he did for that man at our church with the tremendous back problems that would have put him in a wheelchair and set him free, he will do it for you. Amen. Praise God in the name of Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Just be in a receiving mode. Glory to God. Amen. Now she said, if I may be touched but his clothes, but you're in essence saying, when they touch me. We're just going to say, in the name of Jesus, be whole. Whatever realm you need to be whole in, the power of God will come on you and will set you free in Jesus' name. Marcus, you can come with us if you want to. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Behold. Praise. That's it. That's it. That's just the power of God right there. Amen. Amen. In the name of Jesus. And then, behold. Glory to God. That's the power of God. In the name of that's it right there. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it already. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's it. That's it. That's it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Who's in line here? Praise God. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We worship you, Father. In the name of Jesus. That's it. That's the power of God. You're a receiver. In the name of Jesus. In the name of. That's it right there. That's the power of God. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Play your hands on it right there and pray with. In the name of Jesus. That's it. That's the power of God to set you free, make you whole right now. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the name. Oh, be whole. Be healed in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Be whole. There it is. 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 Praise God. Say, I receive. Praise God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Power of God sets you free. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name. That's it. That's the power of God right there, brother. Set you free and make you whole. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In the name. The name. The name. The name. The name of Jesus. Praise God. Lay your hands on him, Brother Doug. Praise God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Say, I believe I got what I came for. Because the Word says, if I believe, I receive. It's mine. So it's mine now. I know it because Jesus promised me and I received it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. In the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. That's anointing of God, sister. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. In the name. That's it. In the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name. That's the anointing of God right there. Glory to God. In the name, there it is. It went right in you. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Amen. See, that power goes in you. It'll do anything. Glory to God in the name. In the name of Jesus. There it is. There it is. There it is. That's the power of God. That's the anointing of God. That's the anointing of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, of course, you understand this. See, you understand this because you're well taught. Doesn't matter whether it's instant or not. I mean, thank God for instant manifestations. But even if it's not, doesn't change a thing. Praise God. See, I've had so many out-and-out miracles happen in my life, but I realized it after I believed I received, a day later, an hour later, 2 weeks later, doesn't matter. I still realized it. So you go your way saying, I got it. I got what I came for. It's mine in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Well, let's all thank God for it. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for healing people. Thank you for setting people free. Thank you for making people whole in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father. We praise you. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. Imana sadalavabo kore seteki hiando. Sundo kore setile kore setiki yambo. Shema, would you? Emine sete. I believe the Lord has a word for you corporately as a group. Panko masa tiambo ko sediando ko. Satiki shatako re sediambo. Ladala badala leom barosha de. And you see in alo kurase and every day on shando lavaba. Barasa bukura shataki and il sando. Sando sando. Barasha barasa barasa tokoho. Seke somanasha. And yondo lovo boko and you sedalaka. And ye ha 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 ha. Il sando bakarishi tiki yando. Thank you, Jesus.
As you live day by day, life seems to be just fairly normal and fairly natural in your path of life. But I would say unto you that you know the great truths of my word.
Yes.
You know by my word and by my spirit. And life, your life is not just a natural life, but you are a supernatural
yes.
being. And you have a supernatural life. And as you begin to activate more and more and more and more, tap into and believe and say, I am a supernatural person. I have supernatural ability. I possess the supernatural power of God. Those things will begin to be manifested more and more and more and more in your life. And as a body of believers and as a church, you're not just a normal church. You're
yes.
just not a day-by-day average church. You are a church of believers. A church that activates the power of God. A church that goes out in the community and has supernatural abilities to overcome and to bless and to be a blessing. So I'm saying unto you, as you go out, activate your faith in the supernatural power of God and let it flow through you. And not only is it transforming you and your children and your family and your households and your church, but it transforms your communities and your neighborhood. And you will see the glory of God come upon people and lives be transformed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Both of you?
Yes.
Praise God. Amen. 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 What a wonderful person to preach to. Praise God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your loving mercy and compassion toward my sister, and make her whole in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Yes, 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 yes. That's God. That's God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. 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 Thank you that it's so, Father. Thank you that it's so. Thank you that the power of God sets us free and makes us whole. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. That's it. That's it.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, Pastor. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory.
Say this with me. Say, I'm possessing what God has already promised. It's mine, and I'm taking hold of it, and nothing can take it out of my hand. I have the victory. I'm an overcomer. I'm a winner because Jesus died for me and loves me. In Jesus' name, amen. Someone say, praise the Lord. You glad you came today? Now, this is just the beginning because we have tonight. We're going to meet here at 6 o'clock, and I would strongly recommend that you be here, because this is a special time that God wants to do something special. And you don't want to be the one saying, boy, I wish I'd have been there. So be here, amen. And don't forget to make an investment into this ministry, and the Lord will bless you for it. You can make out a check to VCF and then just put special guest on there, and then we'll in turn give him one. There's envelopes in the back. And let's go out and hear. Let's believe, let's say, and let's act on it. Amen? So, Father, we just give you thanks and praise for this word, for the ministry of your Holy Spirit. You are an awesome God. And we praise your holy and wonderful name. And, Lord, I call the people blessed today. I thank you, Father, that you will bring to remembrance what they've heard, that they may never forget it. Put it before them, Father, and bring them into all truth. Show them even greater things about what they heard today. Make it a reality in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.